miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. The polar vortex has pulled out, and this week, much of the nation in varying degrees was affected by that terrifically cold weather. And dealing with the Arctic chill, there becomes a real threat of frostbite with actual freezing of skin and damaging skin. Dr. Janet Pristowski is a board-certified dermatologist, 25 years experience, to talk here about tips to help aid in the protection and detection of frostbite if it happens again, because there are still some winter months ahead of us in places where we really get cold winter weather. Hey, Doc, thanks for coming on. Is there a temperature, actual temperature, or a wind chill temperature where frostbite certainly starts to become an issue?
Well, really, frostbite begins any time the skin temperature goes below freezing. So 32 degrees is really when you have to start being seriously concerned about frostbite. And then, of course, if it's windy and you get a wind chill kind of making it seem like it's below 32, even if it's maybe a little above 32, you've got to worry about that as well, because the wind chill is going to increase the rate of heat loss from your body. So that, you know, just accelerates the whole cooling of the skin.
But even a temperature at 32 degrees, there's a potential for frostbite with somebody then.
Your body's going to start getting into the mode of being able to go in that direction. You won't actually freeze. It's like just below that where you can freeze.
Yeah,
it's
and
an ice cube while water freezes at 32. So
right.
You've got a lot of water in your blood, and that's kind of really what happens, is that you start forming ice crystals. So if you start forming ice crystals in your tissue, that's frostbite, basically.
Yeah, and a lot of school districts in the Northeast were closed this week, not necessarily, well, because a lot of walkers, and you don't want these young kids out walking in those temperatures for any length of time. That was the primary reason why these schools did decide to close. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
Let me ask you about this and talk about it in terms of the kids who went out to watch football games. And one of the things that I saw told to them was they could put on plastic gloves, especially on their extremities, plastic gloves and plastic booties, and put Vaseline underneath it, and then put on their regular gloves or preferably mittens, because mittens, apparently the toes and fingers keep each other warm. But they said that that by having the Vaseline, it helped protect. Is that true?
Well, I hadn't heard of that, but I could see that it might make sense. I mean, it is known, for example, that for people going to Arctic-type places, that people are given the advice not to do a lot of hand-washing and feet-washing, because it's been found that there's an increased risk of frostbite if the hands and feet are sort of chafed and chapped from repeated washing. So the thing we use, and the reason we use Vaseline a lot on the hands and feet in dermatology, is just to create a seal so that you're not evaporating water through the skin from the cracks and so forth from chafing. And I would guess it would just help hold the body's heat and moisture in a bit better, and it's just another layer of
and maybe
insulation.
protect the water. It might freeze at a lower temperature, so it protects you from water freezing. Now, is moisturizer the question we have on email? We have an email line. Anyone can send us questions at udocs@gmail.com. And someone quickly wrote me, does moisturizer on the hands and feet do the same thing as Vaseline?
Well, most moisturizers are, liquidy and filled with mostly water, and they really wouldn't do as good a job at moisturizing the skin as something heavy-duty like Vaseline or Aquaphor. So I don't think you could probably get the same benefit. Having said that, though, it's better to have your skin in better shape if you're going to be outdoors. And a lotion will be better than nothing, but I don't really think that it's going to be equivalent. There's a huge difference between an ointment like a Vaseline and a lotion.
So what can we do to protect ourselves from these cold weather? First of all, one of the things when we talked to weathermen about this, they said it's an isolated event. We don't know whether it'll occur again. There's no predisposition for one to cause another. Is that your understanding as well, or is that is that outside your realm? But you've been an expert on frostbite on a number of shows, so I thought maybe you could help us with that.
You mean in terms of the polar vortex being an isolated event? Or?
Yes.
I'm not a weather expert.
Vortex.
I can't really comment. But, there have been temperatures like this before, they were comparing, record-breaking temperatures in the Northeast, for example. And there were some temperatures pretty close to what we saw last week, in the late 1800s and so forth. So, who knows when this type of thing will happen again, but apparently similar extreme temperature swings have occurred before. So who knows,
And
by the way,
how does one know one's getting, how does one know one's getting in the risk for a frostbite? What are the symptoms one gets, and what should one do when they get those symptoms?
Well, the first symptom of frostbite is that you usually get some redness and pain in the skin area that is going to be affected. You might miss that if you're skiing. You're focused on not falling, so people don't always recognize that that symptom, but. The next symptom is that the skin's going to change color. It's in terms of losing color. It's going to turn more whitish or grayish. It may have a yellowish tinge to it. And then it's going to start feeling firm and also numb. So sometimes if you're with a buddy might notice the color change and point it out to you. And so it's good if you're going to be in extreme cold, to actually be with somebody else and not just be out there all by yourself, can be very helpful to have
them. When this happens, for example, when you get the color change, do you then want to go inside and put warm water on it, or do you not want to put water on it, or do you want to just slowly warm up? Is there a difference between fast warming and slow warming, and what do you do?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no. Once it looks like there may be some signs of frostbite evolving, you want to first, get inside as soon as possible, and then you want to warm up the tissue. And certainly, warm water warming is the best way to rewarm the skin. I'm not trying to use the word warm here too much, but that will cause the quickest. Rewarming of the tissue, and it's very important to rewarm the tissue as soon as possible, because otherwise the surface of the skin will be, if you do a slow warming, the surface is warming and then starts metabolizing nutrients, but it doesn't have blood flow from the deeper tissues, and so it actually makes the injury worse. So you really want to get that full deep warming as soon as possible, and putting somebody in a nice warm bath of about 104 degrees, or submerging the affected, hand or foot in a bucket of similarly temperature-wise water is the best way to do it. And then to make sure you keep that person or the affected area in the warm water long enough. A lot of times people don't rewarm long enough, and that causes more damage.
Well, we're going to talk more when we come back. Joe?
Thank you, Dr. Mike. Dr. Janet Hill-Prostowski is a board-certified dermatologist. And our topic is frostbite, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com for your questions for both docs. On You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royzen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi. Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.